This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
That was part of a long discussion that Dave Rebson had with Kevin Warren, the commissioner of the Big Ten on the Big Ten Network. It's part of the reason that I invited Dave onto the show today. Dave Rebson is an anchor at Big Ten Network. He is a fantastic broadcaster and also an incredible author. His book, Opening Kickoff, The Tumultuous Birth of a Football Nation, is a must-read if you are a football fan. And quite honestly, it could help you understand some of the things that we are seeing in 2020. He joins me now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford has 5G new and used vehicles at Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. You could just check out alpamonteford.com. Dave, thanks for joining me.
My pleasure, Lawrence. Thanks a lot for having me.
When you got the news to rush into the studios because there was going to be a big announcement, what kind of went through your mind thinking that the Big Ten was not going to play football this year?
Well, I think the biggest thing, Lawrence, is just kind of disappointment. I totally understand the decision. I understand why the decision was made. But I love the sport. You know I love it. I'm passionate about college football. I'm a fan of college football. It has been part of the drumbeat of my life essentially for as long as I can remember. I mean, I went to my first college football game when I was 6. So I love the sport. I love the Big Ten. And I think you mentioned the history. I did think a little bit about the history. And the league started in 1896, played through 2 world wars, played through another pandemic, played through the Great Depression, played through all of these things that we've gone through in our country, and was important for people, I think, as a way of coping with all of these things going on around them. But this was just the one thing that, at least right now, the Big Ten can't get through, and college football may not be able to get through. And so I think that was kind of the rush of emotion. I felt terrible for fans. I felt terrible for players. Now, this is the time of year that Jerry DiNardo and Howard Griffith and I are usually on our tour bus watching everyone practice and get ready for the season. And I would just tell people, even the worst teams in the Big Ten work so hard, man. Like, it means so much to them. And they're out there working toward this goal, and it's heartbreaking that they don't get to try to achieve it this year. It's heartbreaking for the coaches and everyone who loves college sports. And I know it was heartbreaking for the presidents and for the commissioner who had to make that announcement yesterday.
I thought it was a really good question and an interesting way to steer the conversation with Kevin Warren, where you asked him, I think it was the second question that you asked him, was like, hey, how did we go from kind of celebrating the schedule release last week to where we are now? Was the answer that he gave you satisfying?
Well, no, not really. I mean, and I want to just say before we get into any of this, like, I don't like Kevin Warren. I love Kevin Warren. He is unbelievable. I think he is going to be an amazing commissioner for the Big Ten. I already consider him to be a friend. I'm honored to be working with him. I'm part of his anti-hate, anti-racism coalition. I think we're going to do incredibly important work there. But no, I mean, it was actually the first question I asked, and it was also the second question I asked because I didn't get a satisfactory answer. And I would just say that I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, I think they've been up like 20 hours a day for like 5 straight days. And, you know, I just think it's a tough spot to be put in. But No, I think ultimately what it comes down to, whether or not the answer was satisfactory or not, I think I've kind of learned what the thinking is subsequently. And I just think it comes down to this, Lawrence. If you're going to put those players on the field, you have to know that they don't have COVID-19. You have to know they don't, because there are a ton of ramifications if they do. And I think everyone just felt they weren't in a position where they could confidently do that. The testing wasn't in a place where they could. Contact tracing is a huge issue then. Football is a collision sport. It is all about contact. And it's so hard to know if you do find out that someone got out there who had COVID, how in the world are you going to trace every person they came in contact with during a football game? It is an impossible task. So, again, whether or not that question was answered in the interview or not, I think that's the answer to the best I'm able to determine, that they just weren't confident that they could put kids out there knowing 100% for a fact that they don't have it. And if you can't do that, then you can't play the game.
Dave Revzin of the Big Ten Network is here joining me and talking a little bit about college football. Dave, I found myself frustrated with what's happened and how we've talked about this, where I had a lot of people telling me, oh, well, you know, all of these commissioners, they're talking with each other, they're on these calls, and I found it really odd that at the end of this, there wasn't a standard. Maybe that's the best word for it. There wasn't a standard on how everyone was going to go forth with the amount of testing or contact tracing. And I don't understand how that's possible when there is so much money. Like, even if we look at it from the most cynical standpoint of these people aren't educators, they are looking at it from a financial standpoint, I didn't understand why there wasn't something that was going to galvanize everyone so that everyone was on the same page. And now, with leagues saying we're not going to play, that there wouldn't be kind of rogue leagues or rogue teams if everyone had kind of figured out how to make this work for everyone.
I think that's a really good point. It's something that he and I talked about a little bit yesterday, if you'll recall. I kind of asked him about the ACC had their infectious disease expert come out yesterday and say, I absolutely think we can play. And I think we have this under control, and I think there's a path forward for us. And so I asked him about whether or not they are sharing information. Do you have access to that information that the ACC purports allows them to play? And he did say that they had been sharing information among the leagues. Now, look, we don't have a total grasp on this as a country, needless to say. And people are reaching different conclusions with a lot of the same information. And so maybe that's just kind of where we find ourselves right now, Lawrence. I mean, maybe they're sharing that information but aren't reaching the same decisions based on that information. I think there are a lot of places where we're seeing that. We're seeing different states running themselves differently than one another in the same regions of the country. So, again, yeah, I mean, to point out a flaw in the system in college football, which is that we don't have a centralized authority. And obviously, the NCAA sets the rules, and everyone kind of buys into the NCAA, for lack of a better way of putting it, and says, we're going to follow these rules as a collective group. But, you know, again, there's kind of a czar or a commissioner or whatever it is. You know, each league kind of has its own way of running itself. Maybe that points out that we need a different way of approaching it. But, yeah, I do find that strange. Like, look, let's just say this, Lawrence. You can say right now today that you're going to play and you're going to start your season on September 26th or whatever it is. Let's just see when we get to that point where we are. And I'm rooting for them, because if they do play, it means then we got a better chance at a Big Ten basketball. And we got a chance to see Big Ten football in the winter or in the spring or whenever it might be. So I hope that they can pull it off. But it's easy to talk right now. Let's just kind of see where everyone gets, because my understanding is we're still all in the same boat, which is it's going to be impossible to put kids out there and 100% know they don't have it.
I think you're right about that. And I'm trying to figure out kind of what happens next. As far as spring football goes, I hope that the time is now used to reach some understanding, even with the student athletes, about some of the things that they would need to feel more comfortable going out there. I think that's a huge part of the next step. How viable do you think the option of playing in the spring is? And to speak to your concern, let's say that the Republic is still in the same place that it's in right now. How viable do you think college football is to being on the field in the spring?
Well, if we're in the same place in terms of testing, then, I mean, I think that's really, those are the biggest issues right now that are keeping them from being able to play. So when you say that we're in the same place as a nation, if that means the testing is in the same place and that we don't have a rapid test that's widely available, then I think, unfortunately, we're in the same spot. I guess I want to believe that we'll make progress there, and I think it's reasonable to think we would. As to whether or not spring football is viable, I think the challenge there becomes, then are you going to turn around and play in the fall? And if you are, like, I don't know, you know, I know our show kind of intersected with your show a little bit yesterday, so I don't know whether you're with the C. Urban Meyer, but I asked him, how viable do you think spring football is? And he said, not at all. But, you know, Urban Meyer comes to it from the point of view of having every single guy in his team basically being an NFL prospect. The vast majority of people aren't NFL prospects. And so I think there would be some people who would opt out. But I think you could play within the division. Maybe you play every team in your division six games, and then you have some sort of a makeshift Big Ten championship game between the two divisions. And then you could turn around 5 months later or whatever it would be and play, maybe it's an 11-game season instead of 12. No, a team that plays in the national championship game, Lawrence, plays 15 games. So I don't think that would be that much different, right? If you played six and had a huge break and then maybe you play 11. I don't know. So I don't think it's totally unreasonable from a workload or from, you know, asking kids to do it. I think it comes down to, again, can we get kids on the field and not know that they have COVID and know that they don't have COVID?
Yeah, and I feel like maybe the season doesn't start with like a week zero at the end of August. Maybe week zero is at the end of September or early October, and maybe you can do it that way. It's all of this stuff is really, really interesting, because I think that, and I don't mean this politics with a capital P, all of the political aspect of it from region to region, league to league, team to team, is really interesting to watch. What am I supposed to do with what we're seeing coming out of Lincoln? Like, how should I react to what's happening with Nebraska? And it's seeming like there's a bit of an insurrection that's going on.
Well, again, I asked the commissioner about that, and I think there was just so much going on that he essentially said, I'll deal with that when I need to deal with it, and today isn't the day to deal with it. It was interesting that Pete Thamel then later in the day talked to him and asked him, can Nebraska play games this fall? And I believe his response was not if they want to continue to be a member of the Big Ten. So I think that's somewhat unequivocal. I get it. Look, I understand how integral to the fabric of these communities. I spent a lot of time in Lincoln, Nebraska. It's a wonderful community, and it revolves in a large extent around that university and the university's football team. They love that team, and it's a huge part of the economy, and it's a part of kind of the identity of the place. And so I get it. I understand fundamentally what has been taken away. And so I understand the emotion of Scott Frost and of Bill Moose and all the people in charge of that school. And I understand the emotions of the fan base, and they're new to the league, right? I mean, they're 9 years in the league or whatever it is. So I understand. I think they've been a really important member of the Big Ten. I think they've brought a lot to the league. I think they are a really good fit, and I hope they continue to be in the league. But I also understand how important college football is to their culture, and I think it'll be fascinating to see how they proceed here in the days and weeks to come. I'm not 100% convinced there's going to be anyone to play, but if there is, I'll be interested to see what they do.
Dave, I really appreciate your time, and I think you did a great job of kind of explaining all of the tentacles of this story. You, Mike Hall, everyone else over at Big Ten, you guys do really great work, and I'm glad to call you a colleague and a friend, and I'm looking forward to even more great stuff as you guys try to pull all of this stuff apart and try to make it make sense.
Thanks, Lawrence. I really appreciate you. Obviously, really enjoy your show. You're a consummate pro, and thanks for having me on.
All the time. That's Dave Revson. He's on Big Ten Network. His book, I'm not kidding you, his book, Opening Kickoff, you need to get it. If you like college football, like if you're into the history of college football and how it connects to the history of this country, you should get his book. It's one of my favorite sports books that I've ever read, okay? So get it. Opening Kickoff, Tumultuous Birth of a Football Nation. Dave Revson is the author. You can watch him on Big Ten Network, and he was fantastic. I have some things I want to say about some of the stuff that Dave can't say, so I'm going to say it, and I'm going to say it next here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.